Boys and girls, the sheet you have now, once you've written those four words, you need to turn over to the other side, okay? All right. I'm going to show you some pictures that hopefully will look familiar. Psalm 23 is what we're going to spend the rest of our service looking at. Very simply, I'm going to draw your attention to three pictures and one person, okay? Three pictures and one person. Psalm 23 gives us three picture words of what God is like. We're going to look at those picture words, and then we're going to look at the one person who's like that. Okay? Three pictures and one person. The first picture is this. Verses 1, 2, and 3, very simply, the Lord God is a shepherd. Let me read those words to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's one of the most famous pictures in the Bible. We are the sheep, God is the shepherd. Boys and girls, does anybody know what David's job was before he was king? Charlotte. He was a shepherd. And as he looks back over his life, he thinks, the way I looked after my sheep is very similar to the way that God has looked after me. I was the shepherd, I looked after the sheep. God's my shepherd, he's looked after me. And so David has this idea of the sheep being looked after by being given food, green pastures, nice lush green grass, and water. He leads me beside still waters, or waters that are safe to drink. Okay? So God's the shepherd, he's looking after me like a sheep. But I want you to see something really important. Have a look at verse 3. Boys and girls, Psalm 23 is on your sheet, so you should be able to look on your sheet. Grown-ups, verse 3, this is not about food and water. It's not about just what our body needs. Because David talks about God restoring his soul. Do you see that? It's not just physical care that God is giving. It's soul care. Everything about us is cared for by God. That's what David is saying. And one of the problems with sheep, boys and girls, is that they wander. Did you know that? One sheep wanders, the next sheep follows, and the next sheep follows, and the next sheep follows. How many times have you been driving down country roads and you see not just one sheep on the road, but you might see two or three sheep on the road. They've jumped over the fence and they're on. One sheep follows the other. They wander and they follow each other. And so a shepherd keeps his sheep together. And in verse 3, when David says, he leads me in paths of righteousness, what he's saying is that God keeps me, his sheep, on the right path. On the safe path, on the good path. So the first word picture that David gives us is that he's our shepherd. God's our shepherd. He cares for us, not just our bodies, but our souls. Okay? So that's very easy. The second one, he's still with the idea of a shepherd, but in verse 4, he goes a little bit further. Let me read it to you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does David mean when he writes that? Well, there's three things we think he means. The first is this. The valley of the shadow of death can be a picture of life when it's really hard. Okay, life when it's really hard. So one prophet, when he looks back over the Old Testament, he talks about God's people going through the land of drought and deep darkness. And that's a time when they were walking through the wilderness, 40 years. A land of drought and deep darkness. And many people think that David is referring to that sort of experience when life is really hard. Okay? The other thing it can refer to is this. When people we love die. And so the shadow of death falls on us. We know what it is to say goodbye to someone we love and not want to say goodbye to someone we love. And so the shadow of death falls on us. Sorrow and grief. And the third thing, not just life through hard times or when a loved one dies, but actually when we die. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when it comes to the point where we die, I want you to see, boys and girls, what he says next. I will fear no evil. Okay? Can you see why he says that? Boys and girls, can you see what comes next after he says, I will fear no evil? Can you see what comes next? He says, for you are what? For you are with me. And that's why I've chosen the word companion. A companion is someone who stays with you. Some of you go to a school where you have a buddy system. The year sixes look after the reception class. And you're given a buddy. Does that sound familiar? And the idea is the person in year six looks after the person in reception. They stick with them. And they play with them sometimes. They read with them other times. They make sure they're okay. They stick with them. They're a companion. Well, David is saying, well, God's like that. He stays with me. He's a companion through life. As a shepherd, he stays with me. Two things on this. Grown-ups, I hope you're listening. Firstly, I want you to see that David knows that life will not always be smooth. Do you see that? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can have ideas about life, we can have ideas about God. One daft idea we can have, which is really dangerous, is that God is only good for the good times. Okay? God is only good for the good times. It's a really daft idea. It's a really dangerous idea. But David is saying here that God is good for not just the good times, but for all times. I have an umbrella at home. Okay, it's a really nice umbrella. It's grey. It's a man's umbrella. Okay. When it rains, it's brilliant. It keeps the rain off me. But when the wind blows, it's useless. Because although it's a nice looking umbrella, it wasn't very expensive. And when the wind blows, this umbrella pops inside out. So when it's rainy and windy, the umbrella stays at home. I have to leave it there because there's no point in bringing it out. We can treat God like that. When tough times come, we can leave him behind. We can think, he's no good for this tough journey. I'll leave him behind and go on my own. But David's saying here, he's teaching us that God's not just good for the good times. He's good for every time. Do you see that? The other thing is this. David talks about two things that the shepherd has. Boys and girls, have a look at verse 4. Okay? There are two things that the shepherd has. One is called a rod and the other is a staff. Okay? If you've seen a picture of a shepherd, you've probably seen what's called a shepherd's crook. That's the staff. It's long, it's thin, and it's got a bendy top. Not a bendy top, but a looped top. Okay? That's the staff. The rod is more like a baseball bat. Okay? Or, boys and girls, if you wanted to get a piece of wood to use as a bat to hit a ball, it's that kind of sort of size and shape. Okay? The bat is to hit wild animals away. Okay? It's to protect the sheep from other things. But the crook, the staff, is to protect the sheep from themselves. So the idea would be, if a sheep falls down into a ditch, and can't get out. The shepherd would turn his staff upside down and the loop end is at the bottom, and he would hook the loop round the sheep's body and he would pull the sheep up. Okay? The sheep's got lost, the sheep's got stuck. The shepherd's going to look after him and protect him. And that shows us something about ourselves. We can think that life is hard because things are happening to us. Because other people perhaps have let us down, or circumstances are really hard. And that is true. God can protect us and guide us through tough times when things happen to us. But grown-ups, isn't it true that we are also our own enemies at times? Isn't it true that we wander, that we get things wrong, and that we need rescuing, not just from other things, but we need rescuing from ourselves? David's saying here that God can do both. He can protect us from other things, look after us then, and he can protect us from ourselves. That's really special. That's really special. And so as a companion, he doesn't just stay with us, he can look after us no matter what we face. So that's the first two word pictures. He's a shepherd, he's a companion. The third one is this, verses 5 and 6. He's a host, not toast. He's a host. Now, you might not know what the word is, but you know what the idea is. Let's say your friend invites you to a birthday party. Please come to my party at my house at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Okay? You arrive at 3 o'clock. Okay? You look lovely. You've got a birthday present in your hand for your friend, and the door opens. What does your friend say? Does your friend say, get lost? No. Your friend says, come in. Come in. Well, at that point, your friend and his parents are acting like hosts. You're the guest, and they're the host. They're welcoming you in. And David's saying, God welcomes us into his care. He's a host. He says, come in. I'll look after you. And he's got this bit of a strange picture. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When God's people, many years before David wrote this, God's people were going through the wilderness and they doubted whether God could feed them. Okay? Can he look after us in the middle of a desert? And one of the questions that is quoted is this: can he lay a table for us in the wilderness? Can he feed us? David's saying, you prepare a table before me. He's not asking God. He knows that God can and will and does care for his people. He acts like a host. He welcomes people in and he cares for them. And then there's this idea about anointing my head with oil. Now, you don't go to your friend's house and get your head anointed, okay? But in a hot country, on special occasions, you go to a banquet and it's the host's job to refresh you before the meal. That's what used to happen. And so they would have some oil and they would pour it on your head to cool you down and to show you that you're specially welcome. That's what that is. God's saying, or David's saying, God, you're like that. When we come to you, you assure us that we're specially welcome. Have a look at the last verse, boys and girls. Because this host looks after us, not just on one day for a big birthday or a banquet, but he looks after us. What's the last word of the whole psalm? Can you see it, boys and girls? What's the last word of the whole psalm? Can you see it? Starts with F. Forever. Yeah, thank you. Forever. God will look after us, not just on one day, not just on a special day, but he will look after us every single day. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, God will look after you, not just in this life, boys and girls, but after we die and forever. So that's the three word pictures that David gives us. He's a shepherd. boys and girls, you should have these on your sheets, okay? He's a shepherd, he's a companion, and he's a host. And all of these ways, David is saying, oh, do you know what David's saying to God? I adore you. I adore you. I love you because you are like this. Okay? That's what he's saying to David. Or to David's saying to God. Now then. I said to you, we're going to do three pictures in one person. Before we do the one person bit, we're going to sing. I've got a question. The question is this. How? How will God act as a shepherd, a companion, and a host? How will he do it? Well, these next two songs will give us a clue, and then we'll talk about the one person who does it. These two songs point to Jesus dying and rising again. Okay, he dies for us to save us, and he rises again to reign over us. Okay, we've done the three word pictures. So just to remind you, I'm going to pop them up on the screen and leave them there. The first one's shepherd. Can anybody under the age of 12 tell me what the second one is?
Companion.
Whoa, I was waiting for a voice over there. Brilliant, well done. Companion. Shepherd, a companion, someone who stays with us. And then a host, someone who welcomes us and looks after us, okay? Let me just say this. As shepherd, he goes before us. As companion, he stays beside us. And as a host, he surrounds us. Okay? Just have a look at the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Okay? In other words, God will look after us no matter what may come, no matter what we face, no matter who we are. It's a wonderful picture. Okay? Now, boys and girls, has your teacher ever asked you or your class for volunteers? Okay? I would like a volunteer, says a teacher. And hands shoot up, don't they? Okay? Before the teacher's actually told you what you're volunteering for. Has that ever happened? I would like a volunteer to clean the toilet. Okay? Who on earth could do this job? Who on earth could look after our souls, could stay with us forever, even through death, and welcome us and look after us always? Who could do that? That's a massive job. Thankfully, we don't have to guess, do we? Because there are three word pictures, but there's one person. Okay? Let me show you what one person said, which helps us understand. Jesus said, I am the what? The good shepherd. Jesus is saying, I'll do that job. I'll look after your soul. I'll stay with you. And I'll surround you. I'll do that job. Now, what he says next is really important. Do you want to see what he says next? It's not just that he's volunteering to do that job. It's not like he's the only one who can do that job. Because this is what he says next. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is how Jesus will shepherd his people. He's going to die for them. And that's found in John chapter 10, verse 11. If you've got a sheet, you might just want to fill some blanks in. Grown-ups, just have a look at Psalm 23 in the Bibles. Boys and girls, here's a question for you. What comes before Psalm 23? It's not a trick question. It's dead simple. What comes before Psalm 23? Psalm 22, yeah. Okay, it's not hard. Psalm 22. Have a look at Psalm 22. The very, very first line. If you can't see a Bible, boys and girls, don't worry, I'm going to read it to you, okay? Psalm 22, verse 1, starts like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? Do you know where it should sound familiar from, if we know the life of Jesus? Jesus said those words while he was dying on the cross. He said those exact words. And so Jesus, as he died, had Psalm 22 in his mind. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." I'm going to draw your attention just a few verses in Psalm 23 so you realize just how closely it speaks about Jesus. Have a look. Let me get my notes. Have a look at verse 8. Verse 8. Okay? Psalm 22 is about a person who suffers but survives, and as a result, people from all over the world turn to and trust in God. A person suffers but survives, and as a result, people all over the world turn to and trust in God. Verse 8 is one of the responses that this person who suffers hears. This is what's said. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let the Lord deliver this person who's suffering. Let the Lord rescue him if he delights in him. Those words, pretty much word for word, were said to Jesus as he died. If he trusts in God, let God rescue him then, is what was said to Jesus. And people were saying that as a way of making fun of Jesus. Because they thought as Jesus died, it was all over. So Jesus used verse 1. Other people used verse 8. Have a look at verses 16, 17 and 18. This person who's suffering is surrounded by people and they're pictured as if they're dogs. Dogs because they're being cruel. Verse 16. For dogs encompass me. That means they surround me. A company of evildoers encircles me. Listen carefully. They have pierced my hands and feet. When Jesus died on the cross, it was crucifixion. His hands and his feet were pierced. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. So he's stripped naked, and people can see everything about him, and they're not being kind. And then look at verse 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That's exactly what they did as Jesus died on the cross. They cast lots for his clothing. Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 hold together. Because Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," Psalm 23. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep," Psalm 22. The one who suffers in Psalm 22, shepherds in Psalm 23. Okay? These two psalms hold together. How will the shepherd look after the soul of you or me? He will die to ensure that your soul will be with God in heaven forever. That's how he'll do it. He will die to save you. And that's what Psalm 23 is about the care that God gives through Jesus, through his death and resurrection. And that's why Psalm 23 can talk about looking after our souls, not just our bodies. That's why Psalm 23 can talk about God looking after us, not just through life, but through death and forever. Boys and girls, sometimes people we love die. Sometimes people we love and care for die. And that's really very, very sad. But boys and girls, what's said about God in Psalm 23 shows us that when those people who die, when Jesus is their shepherd, we know that Jesus is with them up to death, through death, and after death. He never leaves them alone. So as sad as we are when people we love die, Jesus is always with them. That's really, really special. But you know what, boys and girls, grown-ups too, it's not just about other people that Psalm 23 talks about. not just about our hope that other people we know and love are with Jesus after they die. Psalm 23 is about you and me and what we think of God. Have a look at Psalm 23, and with this I'll close. Psalm 23, verse 1, the very first line. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay? Don't have to go any further than that. I'm going to show you three things that David could have said. David could have said, the Lord is a shepherd. God's good at looking after people, but there are other things that could look after people. God's one of many. Okay? He's a shepherd. David could have said, the Lord is their shepherd. He's writing about God being the God of the whole of God's people. He could have said, well, the Lord is their shepherd, but not mine. He could have said, here's the last one, he could have said, the Lord is the shepherd. But he doesn't say that. Very simply, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you see that? And as David writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I think he's writing an invitation to everybody who'll read his song, and they'll think, well, is this God, the Lord Jesus, is he my shepherd? That's the question. It would be really sad, boys and girls and grown-ups too, if you walk out of this service today and think, well, that was a nice talk through Psalm 23. I like coming to church today, but nothing changes. That would be really sad. Because Psalm 23 is written so that we see God in a new way. We see God in a way that we can trust him completely. That he becomes my shepherd. He becomes your shepherd. Possibly for the first time. We could say something like this to God. God, I want to thank you for sending Jesus. I want to thank you for sending Jesus to save me and be my shepherd. I want to say sorry for the things that we've done, that I've done, that meant he had to die for me. Would you be my shepherd? And would you, like David, look after me, not just today, but every day of my life, even after I die? You can pray a prayer like that to God. And that's the sort of prayer that God loves to hear. It's the sort of prayer that God loves to answer. To have God as our shepherd is a great thing. So my question to you is this. Is the Lord your shepherd? Because he's good enough and big enough and powerful enough to look after you every single day of your life.